Esk awoke to the sound of someone whistling. She lay quite still, reeling the evening's events across her mind until she remembered why she was here, and then rolled over very carefully and raised the oilcloth a fraction. Here she was, then. But here had moved. "This is what they call sailing, then," she said, watching the far bank glide past. "It doesn't seem very special." It didn't occur to her to start worrying. For the first 8 years of her life, the world had been a particularly boring place, and now that it was becoming interesting, Esk wasn't about to act ungrateful. The distant whistler was joined by a barking dog. Esk lay back in the wool and reached out until she found the animal's mind, and borrowed it gently. From its inefficient and disorganized brain, she learned that there were at least 4 people on this barge, and many more on the others that were strung out in line with it on the river. Some of them seemed to be children. She let the animal go and looked out at the scenery again for a long time. The barge was passing between high orange cliffs now, banded with so many colours of rock it looked as though some hungry god had made the all-time record club sandwich, and tried to avoid the next thought. But it persisted, arriving in her mind like the unexpected limbo dancer under the lavatory door of life. Sooner or later, she would have to go out. It wasn't her stomach that was pressing the point, but her bladder brooked no delay. Perhaps if she... The oilcloth over her head was pulled aside swiftly, and a big bearded head beamed down at her. "Well, well," it said. "What have we here, then? A stowaway, yes, no?" Esk gave it a stare. "Yes," she said. There seemed no sense in denying it. "Could you help me out, please?"
"Aren't you afraid I shall throw you to the pike?" said the head.
It noticed her perplexed look.
"Big freshwater fish," it added helpfully. "Fast. Lot of teeth. Pike."
The thought hadn't occurred to her at all. "No," she said truthfully. "Why? Will you?"
"No, not really. There's no need to be frightened."
"I'm not." "Oh." A brown arm appeared, attached to the head by the normal arrangements, and helped her out of her nest in the fleeces. Esk stood on the deck of the barge and looked around. The sky was bluer than a biscuit barrel, fitting neatly over a broad valley through which the river ran as sluggishly as a planning inquiry. Behind her, the ramtops still acted as a hitching rail for clouds, but they no longer dominated as they had done for as long as Esk had known them. Distance had eroded them. "Where's this?" she said, sniffing the new smells of swamp and sedge.
"The upper valley of the River Ankh," said her captor. "What do you think of it?"
Esk looked up and down the river. It was already much wider than it had been at Ohulan. "I don't know. There's certainly a lot of it. Is this your ship?"
"Boat," he corrected.
He was taller than her father, although not quite so old, and dressed like a gypsy. Most of his teeth had turned gold, but Esk decided it wasn't the time to ask why. He had the kind of real deep tan that rich people spend ages trying to achieve with expensive holidays and bits of tinfoil, when really all you need to do to obtain one is work your arse off in the open air every day. His brow crinkled.
"Yes, it's mine," he said, determined to regain the initiative. "And what are you doing on it, I would like to know? Running away from home, yes, no? If you were a boy, I'd say, are you going to seek your fortune?"
"Can't girls seek their fortune?"
"I think they're supposed to seek a boy with a fortune," said the man, and gave a 200-carat grin.
He extended a brown hand heavy with rings.
"Come and have some breakfast."
"I'd actually like to use your privy," she said. His mouth dropped open.
"This is a barge, yes, no?"
"Yes."
"That means there's only the river." He patted her hand. "Don't worry," he added. "It's quite used to it."